From WNYC, this is The Sporkful.
I don't blame you if you think the cronut's old news. I mean, Dunkin' Donuts has its own croissant donut now. Talk about jumping the shark. And food mashups, I mean, they're as common now as a ramen burrito with a side of walnuts. Google it. But back in May 2013, when Dominique Ansel introduced the cronut, it really was new and different. And to folks who know their pastry, which is not me, it was apparently also just like a marvel of confectionery engineering. People went berserk.
It's time for the cronut craze. Unveiled less than 2 weeks ago, the croissant donut hybrid is causing a frenzy. Right.
Gucci bags and Rolex watches, the cronut is spawning knockoffs across the country.
People lining up at dawn, baked goods scalpers have invented a resale business on Craigslist.
How often does a food do that? I mean, like, how many times before the cronut had you heard the phrase baked goods scalpers, right? You know, and how often can you identify the exact moment that a new food was invented?
The headline of the post is something like introducing the cronut, the donut croissant hybrid that very may well change your life.
This is Hugh Merwin, an editor at the food blog Grub Street. He wrote the first post about the cronut on the day it went on sale. And the post went viral.
I wrote that headline to be kind of cheeky because when I ate it, I felt like my life had been changed in this very sort of minute way. And I kind of did that lightheartedly. And I think that actually ended up giving it more gravity than perhaps I had intended. I think the Corona situation devolved into a story about the hype and the line and whether or not it was worth it. And that, I think it's sort of fundamentally difficult to, you know, either enjoy something or not enjoy it. Like, you know, when you have those things.
It's got so much baggage.
Yeah.
And do you feel like the reaction around the city and then the country and the world was warranted?
Yes. I grew up on Long Island and my father was a probation officer. And I would occasionally do, like, you know, not real ride-alongs with him, but, you know, I would spend a few hours in the car with him, and we would get donuts. And there were a lot of small kind of independent donut shops at the time. And the cronut was, like, sort of simultaneously, like, this old-school donut that I had remembered instantaneously when I bit into it. It's one of those, you know, cliché, very cliché food moments. But it was also, like, this beautiful thing to look at, and it did have the layers and the structure of a croissant.
Hugh was a chef for 15 years before becoming a food writer. And he'll tell you, going out to eat with him is just a miserable experience because he's so jaded. Like, nothing impresses him. But the first time he bit into a cronut...
I don't want to say that it blew my mind, but, like, it blew my mind.
Today on The Sporkful, I sit down with cronut creator Dominique Ansel live on stage. I'll ask him how he feels about the hype and the many people who've copied him. Plus, we'll put the baggage aside and talk about how the cronut was actually created and how best to eat it. Stay with us. This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're coming to you live from WNYC's Jerome L. Green Performance Space in New York City. Joining me now is a world-renowned pastry chef and the creator of the cronut. His new book is Dominique Ansel, The Secret Recipes. Please welcome Chef Dominique Ansel.
Hello, everyone. Hi, everybody.
And joining me for this interview to ride shotgun and hang out, because I never miss a chance to have him hang out with me, is the co-host of WNYC's Radio Lab, Robert Krulwich. So, Dominique, thank you for being here.
No, thank you for having me.
We're very excited. We have to start with the cronut.
Sure, why
right.
not?
Now, you took a croissant or croissant and a donut, and you combined them, and it was called the cronut. Why not the dosant?
That's a good question. I think cronut sounds cooler, no?
Okay. So it was just like your gut feel, which one you liked better?
I like better cronut.
Okay. Did you consider Dosan?
Not really.
Well, because it occurs to me that the cronut is so popular, it's been added now to a list of great food portmanteaus, mm-hmm. you know, words that are a combination of two words, like brunch, breakfast and lunch, spork. We're a big fan of those here. I thought it would be fun to briefly play a little game. I'm going to say a food portmanteau, and I want to know if you guys can tell me what two words came together to make them. I think you'll be all right. But the first one, clamato.
Clamato? It's clam and tomato.
That's right, clamato. Okay, very good. That was an easy one. All right, but good job,
that was
Emily.
Easy, yeah.
Yeah. Next one's a little bit more challenging.
It's a desirable combination, I think.
it's a thing now, yeah. Robert. People are mixing it with beer.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. Next one, pluot.
Pluot?
Yeah.
Plum and apricot.
That's right, plum and apricot. Did you guys know that? Yeah. Pluot, some of you guys? Okay.
They all know it.
Yeah. All right, the third one, this is the toughest one, all right? Tangelo.
Tangerine and pomelo?
Very good. He's good. That's why this guy's a chef.
That was easy.
Yeah, but
you're nice. You're very nice to me tonight.
Yeah, but you want to know an interesting thing about the Tangelo is that it's better known as the honey bell. Mm-hmm. People think it's an orange, but it's not. But it's actually not a combination. The word is tangerine and pomelo, but really it's a combination of a mandarin orange and a pomelo or grapefruit. But mandarin orange and tangerine are so similar, and I think people, the marketing whizzes figure that people wouldn't want to buy a food called Mangello. So I think that's probably a good decision. But cronuts are so popular and so hard to get. I myself have still not had one. So for the benefit of people who haven't had one, and for me, why don't you describe a cronut?
So it resembles to croissant dough. It's very flaky, hundreds of layers. It's shaped as a donut. And we fill it with a cream, roll it into sugar, and glaze it. It's a dough that is fried as well. And we change the flavor every month at the bakery. So every month, we will come up with a seasonal flavor, and it's delicious.
When you set out to create the cronut, did you know exactly what you wanted to do, and it was just a question of figuring out how you were going to do it, or were you not sure where you would end up?
I thought it would be fun to incorporate kind of a donut in our selection. And, you know, I'm French. I don't have any recipe for donuts. So I grew up eating croissant. I really love the texture and the layers, the flakiness. And I want to do something fun that will bring together American and French culture, the textures, and a fun way to eat it. And the first day, I remember, I made 30. And Hugh from Grove Street actually came to the bakery, wrote a small piece, put it on his blog. And the same night, he called me and told me that they had an increase of traffic of 300% of traffic on the website and over 140,000 links on the article the same afternoon. And he told me, you know what? I think you're going to be busy tomorrow. You should make a few more. And I was like,
does Hugh have to wait in line for a cronut now?
He does, yes, like everyone else.
Right.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to make a few more tomorrow. I'm going to make 45. And I did make 45. By the second day, we had over 50 people. By the third day, over 100 at the door, and the craze began. And I was, of course, surprised, and it was unexpected.
How do you eat a cronut? I mean, like, literally, do you bite into it? Do you pull it apart? You bite into it.
You can bite into it. We suggest people to cut in half with a serrated knife so you can see all the layers. It's beautiful.
Interesting.
And then you can peel it apart or just bite into it.
How do you eat a croissant?
I cut it myself.
You cut a croissant?
Yes, always.
Sacre bleu.
I love your French accent.
Thank you.
I'm a chef, so I always love to cut in half and see the layers and what we call the honeycomb. So if you cut a croissant in half, you see all the layers and all the flakiness. That's called the honeycomb, and it's how you know if a croissant is beautiful or not.
How do you know if it tastes good or not?
Well, you're biting to it.
Okay. See, I love to take the knob of a croissant, one of the two ends, and pull that part out so you get the crustiest, knob end part, but it also pulls out some of the soft doughy filling with it, and you get the textural contrast.
You're very technical.
I am. So I eat a croissant by pulling it apart, and I eat a donut also often by pulling it apart, because I like to take a bite and put it in my mouth. How do you eat those, Robert?
Same. I grab a piece, and I think I would do the croissant exactly the same as you. You should be ashamed.
I've wanted for a long time so badly to eat a cronut, and you know, I mean,
this shop is 3 blocks away. You can come over in line.
I know. Well, I've been a little busy, so I did the next best thing, because in your new cookbook, you release a recipe. You have at home cronut.
Exactly. So it is not exactly the same recipe we do at the bakery. It is an at home recipe. Why? Because we want to make sure that most people can do the recipe. And if you buy any kind of flour or any kind of ingredients in a grocery store, you can actually reproduce a very similar recipe.
Well, I set out to do that with some help from my friend Emily Kahn. She's a professional pastry chef. She's actually one that designed the Girl Scout cookie cheesecake recipe that's in my book.
Okay.
And she has a company called Vail Custom Cakes, V-A-I-L. People should check it out on Facebook and Twitter. And I sent her your book. She's a professional pastry chef, but she works from home, so it is at home. Mm-hmm. But she's got some extra expertise, and I asked her to use your recipe to make cronuts.
All right.
Can we try some?
Why not?
All right. So I had her go with the vanilla rose.
Ooh. Wow.
Now I want you to take one. Well, actually, pass one down to Robert.
That looks good.
It looks good. All right. Dominique likes the way it looks.
Thank you.
I'm struck by the weight of the cronut.
Yes, this is a very heavy object.
It is filled with cream.
Yeah.
A lot of cream.
Oh, it's a lot of cream. Okay.
So I think we should just dig in here. I'm going to take
mine too.
What
is this thing on the top, this little leafy thing?
I think that's a...
Just an ornament?
That's a...
It's an ornamental, like it's like a rose petal, because this is vanilla rose.
Is this something that your cronuts have?
Or is this an affectation? This is very fancy.
Okay.
All right.
Are we all eating?
Yeah, let's do it.
Would you like me to talk? Or
is there anything you want to say before we eat these?
No, go for it.
Is it your purpose to have everybody watch us eat these things?
I've never eaten a cronut in my life. I'm going to eat some, and we're all going to eat some. And I would like Dominique to tell us to rate these cronuts. How close are they to his cronuts?
Okay.
And Robert, you and I can share our own interpretation.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's do it.
Oh, my.
Wow.
It's not bad. I'm sorry. That's a French way to say it's good.
Yeah. Pas mal.
C'est pas mal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit doughy.
Okay.
But it's not bad at all.
Okay. Do I have anything on my face?
Yeah, a little bit here. I'll be here too.
I got paper towels. I want to take one more bite before I wipe myself off. It's like you combined a croissant and a donut. It's really good. I could hurt myself with these.
Yeah, stop eating now.
Yeah. This is delicious though. Oh my God. Robert Krowish just ate his entire cronut.
Do you want to say something, Robert?
Was that what it was?
My God. He didn't eat it, he swallowed it.
Yeah.
That was Robert... pretty good, I have to say. What I remember of it.
You have a little bit of it here. No. In here.
Yes, I think that this is amazingly delicious. I'm excited to try one of your cronuts. Thank you to my friend Emily Kahn, Vail Custom Cakes, for doing an amazing job with these. There's just so much going on here. Coming up, my conversation with Dominique Ancel continues. You know, we both have sections in our books called Time as an Ingredient. I mean, like T-I-M-E as an ingredient. So we'll compare notes. I'm pretty sure his recipes with thyme are more impressive than mine. Plus, how does he feel when he sees people ripping off the cronut? Stay with us.
Welcome back to The Sporkful from WNYC. I'm Dan Pashman. Coming up, we'll have more with Grub Street's Hugh Merwin. I'll ask him whether he thinks Dominique keeps the cronut supply low in part to boost demand, or whether they really are just that difficult to make. But first, let's return to my conversation with Dominique Ansel.
It's funny because in some ways, you're a world-renowned pastry chef. I'm a little intimidated by making cake out of a box. But we have some things in common, you and me, Dominique. And one is that we both have sections in our book called Time as an Ingredient.
Oh, we do?
Yeah. In my book, I talk about, I have a recipe for something called ice cream with time, T-I-M-E. And the two things you need for the recipe are ice cream and time.
That's very deep.
See if you can follow this. And you let the ice cream sit so that it gets a little soft, because as I'm sure you know, ice cream has more flavor when it's not frozen too cold. So that's my ice cream with time. Tell me, in your book, what are some of the ways that time is an ingredient?
So time is a very, very important factor when it comes to baking and to food in general, I'll say. For example, at the bakery, we do all of things that are baked to order. So we finish them when people order it. For example, we'll bake fresh madeleines. The madeleines are those little bites of like lemony cake.
They're sort of shaped like a seashell.
Exactly. And we actually only bake them to order at the bakery. It takes about 4 to 5 minutes. Why? Because I want to give people something fresh and something hot from the oven. This is a unique moment in time where you can enjoy the madeleine and when they taste different.
You know who would be a great person to eat the madeleines at your bakery, which are fantastic, and I've had them?
Tell me.
Robert Krowich. He will not let them sit.
But you know, there's also like some pastries where you cannot eat them, by the way. For example, macarons. Macarons, if you make them fresh, you fill them, and you try to eat them, it's actually kind of chewy. It's not as good. You need time to let it rest. You need to let it sit in the fridge for about 2 days, 2 or 3 days. In order for the cream, for the shell to actually absorb the humidity from the cream. They get moist and tender in the center and crunchy on the outside. So this is when you have a good macaron.
The cronut has become such a sensation. And let's face it, people all over the world are selling things they're passing off as croissant donuts or whatever they're going to call them. And now someone just told me today that Dunkin', have you heard that Dunkin' Donuts is making a croissant?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, a croissant donut coming out. And you've been protective of your brand, and understandably so. I'm curious, how does that make you feel when you see people imitating, putting aside what they call it, when they are imitating the cronut? How does it make you feel?
Well, I think that the cronut is a wonderful creation. I think it opened the door to and inspire like hundreds of thousands of people to do something different and to do something unique. I think any respectable chef will have their own creations and they will do their own thing. And I'm happy and excited to inspire the world, but at the same time, I think every chef and every business should have their own creations. And it's not, sometimes, it's not that hard. It's just a matter of thinking a little bit differently. And this is what, for example, what the book talks about. It talks about inspiration and creativity and how you can make things your own and see pastry differently.
Well, I think that's a great note to end on. And I'm not even joking. Those are similar themes in my book. We're not so different, you and me, Dominique.
We're not.
Inspiration,
just
innovation.
The beard,
that's right. Well, you give it a couple of days, you can catch up. ladies and gentlemen, Dominique Ansel is the man behind the Dominique Ansel Bakery, the creator of the Cronut. His new cookbook is called Dominique Ansel, The Secret Recipes. Big hand for Dominique Ansel.
Thank you.
And also a big hand for my friend Robert Krowich from Radiolab.
Turn back now to Hugh Merwin from Grub Street. So, Hugh, when's the last time you had a cronut?
The last time I had a cronut, I think, was in May, on the anniversary.
The 1 year. And did you have to wait in line for that one?
I didn't. It's funny because the launch date of the cronut coincides with my birthday.
Oh.
So I didn't tell them that until this year.
So are you going to get a cronut on your birthday every day for life now?
That would be pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
That should be something they offer to people.
I still have not had a cronut. So we just heard my interview with Dominique Ansel, and he was wonderful and mm-hmm. gracious and smart and a great guest. I respect the fact that he is very devoted to quality.
Mm-hmm.
Because clearly, like, he probably could have sold the recipe to some casino in Vegas for $1 billion
mm-hmm.
and be sitting on a beach somewhere, and he hasn't done that. So I respect that. On the other hand, you gotta figure he could make a few more cronuts a day.
Right.
You know, like maybe, so he makes 350 now. You got to think he could get it up to 500 or 600
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and move that line a little faster, get a cronut to old Dan over here. You know, so what's your take on that? Like, are we seeing a little bit of artificial scarcity here?
I don't think that there's an artificial scarcity necessarily. I just think that it is something, for all the hype, it is something that is kind of complicated to produce and to produce right.
Can you give us, I mean, talk to the layman out there. Can you give us a sort of quick and dirty explanation of how the cronut is made and why it's so complicated?
Sure. It's a variation on the classic laminated dough, which is the style of dough that, like, croissants come out of, and you can make, you know, pain au chocolat and, you know, all those things, where you make a dough and then you take a slab of cold, unsalted butter and you sandwich it between the dough and you pound it out and then you fold it back over and fold it back over and fold it back over. It requires finesse. It requires, like, you need to know, like, how the glutens are developing. Your butter has to be a great quality. The temperature that you rest the dough at has to be very specific. The other thing about the cronut is most all of them are filled with a ganache. They're glazed. They get another garnish. They're rolled in, like, a special kind of sugar. Like, they're kind of pimped out, you know? And all those things require, you know, specific parameters, too.
How do you eat a cronut?
Oh, my goodness. This is going to sound so cheesy, but, I mean, the best way to have a cronut is to cut it in half and to share it with somebody. Like, I'm doing ad copy for the bakery or something.
And when you take the cronut and cut it in half and share it with someone and you take your half, do you break it up with your hands or you bite straight into it?
You know, these are just all probably uninteresting technical bits, but it depends where the filling hits.
Hugh, this entire show is based on uninteresting technical bits. Go on. Tell me. It depends on where the filling is.
You can hit a pocket. You could hit a pocket of ganache. And if you do that when you cut it, you know, depending on what the filling is, you know, sometimes it's been jam. Sometimes it's been chocolate. Sometimes it's been like a champagne ganache, I think. So some ooze more than others. I think that dictates how you handle the cronut maybe a little bit.
So if you hit an artery and you're right there's frosting or filling that's right at the edge of the where you sliced it, then you want to bite into it because you want to get it all in your mouth.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's a time-sensitive issue too.
Well, Hugh Merwin, senior editor for Grub Street, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dan.
Before I say goodbye, eaters, a quick favor. Please make sure that you subscribe to the Sporkful podcast in iTunes. And if you're so inclined, please leave us a positive review, even if you usually listen some other way. If you can just subscribe in iTunes and leave us some good feedback, it helps boost us in the rankings, helps more people discover the Sporkful. So please go to iTunes and do that. Thanks. This show is a production of WNYC and The Sporkful. It's produced by Ann Sani. Special thanks to Chris Bannon and Kristen Meinzer. Also thanks to Jennifer Sendro, Nancy Seychow, Ricardo Fernandez, and everyone else at The Green Space. Thank you as well to Emily Kahn of Vail Custom Cakes. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman, reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.